Joining me now on Our Town is the athletic director for Seso Schools, Chris Johnson. Chris, how you doing?
Just living the dream, George.
Yeah, I bet. First off, I want to talk about soccer. Now, they sort of had a preliminary season this year that included Seso High School students, but it wasn't part of the league. Is that right?
So for the first year, by the time we got everything situated and knew we had a team and coaches who were certified and it was a little bit late in the scheduling process because, like, we're scheduling for next year already. So our winter and our spring and our winter schedules are already done. So by the time we finally had everything ready to go, it was kind of too late to add some of those schools. So we just went and tried to find. Year one, the plan was to have five contests, and we didn't have a home field that was ready to go yet. So we played five games on the road. We played a JV schedule. But we played with girls. So our boys and girls combined to and they competed under the JV, under JV boys soccer. So at the end of the season, they had played four games. They tied one. They lost four. The coaches talked to the coaches. They were pretty confident that the level they were playing at was the right level. I even said, hey, we could talk about trying to put a co-ed team together and play the boys varsity, and they didn't think that would be the right thing to do at this point because they're just starting out. And they were learning just, you know, what it was going to be like to try to be competitive at the high school level. I mean, it's easy to try to guess what a club team might look like. But when you get to the real high school competition, I think it was a little bit maybe the level was a little bit higher than they thought, or maybe they expected that. But both coaches were pretty much on board to kind of do the same plan next year. But we are going to play a league game. So we're going to play – we have five league contests scheduled. So we're going to play all of our road games on the league. And then we added a couple home games too. So I think we're up to eight games.
What are we doing for the home game field then?
Supposedly it's going to be at Miller Park. So I think it's a regulation field. And so I think we're good to go. At this point they're on the schedule. So we'll see.
Now what about coaching as far as that goes? Now the certified coaches, are they hired on as part of the coaching staff?
I mean, everybody who coaches the high school level has to go through a battery of certifications and yearly updates to their certification, you know, heat, illness, and concussion and things like that. But both of our coaches, Londi and I, they're both certified, and they're volunteering their time. Obviously, when we're starting new programs, sometimes, you know, if you get those volunteers, it's a big deal because it's expensive to try to field more sports programs. So they're on board. They did a great job. They were excited, and so just looking forward now. We just have to get more people to play. And it's just we think we had about 15 kids that played, both boys and girls. So I know that the people in town, the youth soccer association, are excited, and they have big numbers, and that's usually a pretty positive sign. But at the same time, there's lots of people who do things when they're younger. It doesn't necessarily translate to doing it in high school.
Yeah.
And the hard part is we have 400 kids in our high school, and we have 100 kids a season to play sports, and that there's five options to pick in the fall. It's tough to find enough people to play all the sports. So, you know, we had trouble with numbers in football. You know, the last couple of years, better this year. So it's just, you know, we've always been pretty. I think the fall has always been a pretty successful time, sports season for Siuslaw. And a lot of people think that maybe that's because we didn't have soccer, because our kids had, you know, boys could play football, cross country, and girls could do volleyball or cross country, and also cheerleading. So, you know, you add one more selection in there, and you have the same number of kids, and it just gets harder and harder to be super competitive.
So how does that look next year then? Do you think you'll have some kids that normally play football go to soccer? Or?
You never know. I mean, people can do whatever they, you know, they can do what they want. We'll just have to wait and see. When we put this together, it was supposed to phase in over time. You know, hopefully if we have enough kids to field a girls and a boys team, we would do it. But at this point in time, we can't. And we can't just field a boys program and not a girls program because we run into Title IX violations.
Right.
So we have to have the same number of offerings for females as we do for males. And we do right now. I mean, people might not realize, but like wrestling is co-ed and cheerleading is co-ed. And obviously the basketball teams are co-ed. Girls have volleyball, but boys have football. Cross country and track are co-ed. So we have equal offerings right now. And so it's just a matter of, can we come up with, you know, we need 11 or 12 or 13 or 14 girls to play soccer and the same number of boys. And then if that happens, I'm sure we would take the next step.
Well, let's talk about you mentioned 400 students, 100 of them play sports, at least 300 out there. What do studies show the advantages are for students that play sports in high school?
Well, I'll just, it's funny. I actually did my master's thesis a long time ago on low SES and sports and grades. And kids who are in sports, even if they're low SES, they get better grades. I mean, not every single kid in sports gets better than everybody else.
On average,
I think at the time it was like almost a full point of GPA higher for people who are athletes. I mean, inherently to play sports, they have to be eligible. They have to be passing classes. And so our athletes are pretty good students too. So
what about the distractions that kids have nowadays, like electronics and things like that?
Does that take away from it? Any hobby, is going to take away from it. If there's something people want to do after school other than play sports, I don't necessarily think it's the numbers have changed a whole bunch. We probably had more people competing in the past than we do now, and it could be because of that. Video games or whatever else. But it's definitely. Being out there for sports is definitely healthy lifestyle choices, and people are good goal setting and. Studies show that your prediction for success is a lot more dictated by probably extracurricular things. The more you can get involved in extracurricular, usually the better, more well-rounded you are. So that's pretty much true.
How does a couple losing seasons affect the recruiting for like football, for example? Is that tougher? When you bring the freshmen in, you just kind of get them pumped and excited about
I think it's just, it's just things to cycle. You have classes with more kids. You have classes with more athletes. You have classes that maybe have more football players than they did. We obviously had a class that went through that didn't have a lot of kids out for sports, and that had an impact on everything. Obviously, moving over to the SkyM League is another gigantic difference. We left schools like Douglas and South Umpqua and Brookings, which are schools that look a lot more like we are size wise. And we add Marist Catholic, and we keep Marshfield and add Cottage Grove, and these are gigantic schools. And so, it's just a numbers game. If we had double the student body that we have now, I'm sure we'd be far more competitive than we have been in everything else. It's just a numbers game.
In the back of my head, though, I was thinking the conversations that we had or somebody had is that the idea to move the league was to be more competitive, and yet we're against bigger schools. Was that not part of the idea?
Well, what they're looking for at the OSAA level is to try to find some balance. So they're going to look at trying to find where those numbers are going to play out. But you have to draw the line somewhere. Mm-hmm. Inevitably, there's going to be schools that are on the low end of the line, and there's schools that are going to be on the high end of the line. We just happen to be – we're in the league with two of the biggest – the two biggest probably, and also Elmira's small too. So – it's a challenging trying to put together classification stuff. It's a daunting task because, again, no one wants to be on that small side where we are, and it's a hardship. But at the same time, I think we've kind of grown this year. I think we have been more competitive. I think we have some young teams, but I think the future looks bright.
Well, I guess in order to really to make it fair, you would end up having to play games in counties too far away to make it worthwhile.
Right. And that's the hard part. That's the difficulty. Like for 4A, the classification that we're in, it's pretty spread out. You have Ontario, Astoria. We did have Brookings, we're spread out all over the place. And so, there's 30 some schools and they're pretty spaced out. So they realize that economically it's not that simple to get in a bus and drive from here to Ontario to play a game. So you try to play teams that are more in your region, but the 4A division is kind of shrinking. It's just if you think about when I got here 25 years ago, all the schools in this league were the only ones left, I think, that are playing in 4A. The rest of them have all gone down. The Oregon Coast economy, obviously, it's not what it used to be when fishing kind of went away. So we just don't have as many. We played Reedsport and Coquille and Myrtle Point and Gold Beach, and all those schools are now, they're 1A or 2A, 3A schools now, most of them 2A. So we've kind of held our own at least and stayed in the same classification, but we've been on the small side forever.
Now you've got during the baseball season, Mapleton comes in and brings some of their players. I think they only have a couple this year.
Yeah.
Is that something that had been talked about for football and other sports?
Well, so you can only co-op. If you co-op with a school, you basically combine ADM. So Mapleton is small enough that we take on their ADM for baseball. We're still 4A. Mapleton doesn't want to – they can't co-op with the school if they have the sport too. So Mapleton doesn't offer softball and baseball because just it's a numbers game. Mm-hmm. And so since they don't offer us baseball and softball, they can co-op. They wouldn't want to co-op in football because they have their own football team. And the same, they wouldn't want to co-op in cross country because then people who run cross country, if they ran cross country here and didn't play football at Mapleton, it's difficult getting the numbers up. So it just worked out. I think the baseball co-op's just worked out well. They've had some players come through and they've been a big help on time when we were a little bit low number wise. So that's the only, we have a co-op in swimming with Reed Sport too. But again, swimming is for girls is 1A, 2A, 3A, 4A. So even though Reed Sport gets our whole ADM, it doesn't change classifications. If it did, they wouldn't want to co-op with us. They wouldn't want to have to go to 5A swimming to get one or two people to participate from our school.
That makes sense.
And the same thing would be true for us. It'd be a hard sell for us to co-op with the school and then have to play 5A or 6A. It just wouldn't be something people would want to do.
All right, let's move to spring. Let's move to your sport. Well, your track and field expertise here.
All right.
How's things looking there? I know you got several people returning that just really made a difference.
Yeah, we walked around. First of all, we have a lot of youngsters out. A lot of new faces, like some freshmen and some people that maybe haven't done track before. But last year we had a pretty solid year and we were really really young. And so a lot of our best kids are back. And so we kind of feel like we we're starting this year where we left off last year. You know, we have two returning state champions. They're both only juniors, and Ryan Rendon Padilla in the javelin and Hannah Rana in the 800. So, yeah, we'll see. I don't know how it's in track. It's kind of a waiting game. You have to kind of wait and see what do we look like really in a couple of weeks, and what do other schools look like, and then we'll see if we can be competitive. We have, unfortunately, our girls team is really strong, but so is Marshfield, and they're their defending state champions, and they lost a grand total of about two kids. So we'll have our work cut out for us, but that's the fun thing about individual sports. You know, obviously it's a team sport, and that's really important to us that we have a team sort of environment. But if you have a couple individual standouts, it makes it seem like things are clicking in the right direction.
When you've got, I won't say a lot, but you have several people that seem like from last year's work have an outstanding work ethic when it comes to track and field, and I think a lot of them have come back this year.
We just talked about that the other day. It just, you look at the people who are successful and they found a way to work. And they found a way that it's not a secret. It's just, one day at a time.
Put the work in.
Yeah, just go out there and just get the work done. And it's pretty amazing just to see some of the people, just how much people have changed over a year of growth. And, a kid like Skylar Loomis, who played football and basketball, and now he's doing track. I mean, he looks like a different kid out there this year. And he's just such a hard worker. It's like infectious. People like him, he makes the whole team better because he's willing to work. And I think, I've talked to the student body about this. Like, we just need all of our kids to play three sports if we can. I mean, there's some people that aren't going to do three sports. I mean, someone like Hannah Rano, she doesn't play three sports, but she trains year round. She's doing two sports for the team, but. It's exciting to see kids who are willing to be three sport athletes and just going out and compete. And we talked about this day and age about people who are playing video games and that are outside playing all the time, like when we were little kids. But those kids that are doing three sports, it makes a huge difference, and they're the kind of kids we need. That's who we're going to build around.
And I was going to say, by the time the third sport rolls around, you ought to be pretty happy because track and field, they've got their work cut out for them. They got their exercise in. They've got their schedule down plan. And then they're the better athlete by the time you get them.
Well, and that's, I think it works both ways. I mean, we feel like, every sport's great. And I wish we had, 80 kids on the baseball team, 80 girls on the softball team. But there's something about track and field where we're just working on the individual. I mean, everybody has to get better. Themselves have to be a better engine, a better machine, a better athlete.
Right.
Learn how to move through space. Learn how to be competitive. Get stronger, get faster, get quicker. So, that's the cool thing about track is it does lend itself to help you in everything else you do. I mean, if you're a volleyball player, you got to be able to jump. You got to be able to move. And football players, they have to be fast and strong and jump. And so, yeah, we feel like, that what we do for kids athletically and track goes a long way to making competitive in everything.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to baseball, track and field, softball as well coming up this season. And then in the fall, we got cross country, football, now soccer.
Yep.
And
cheerleading
volleyball.
And volleyball.
Cheerleading.
Yep. Yep.
Going to have a new cheerleading coach?
Yeah, man. We're having to replace a legend. Diane Conley is moving on. Congratulations to her for an unbelievable career. I know she's earned this retirement, but yeah, she's going to be a tough one to replace. She's
yeah.
a, not just what she does in terms of coaching cheer, but just what she does to support the entire athletic program. I mean, she's one of a kind.
All right. Chris, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And that's it for our March edition of Our Town. If you missed any of it, want to hear some more, listen tomorrow morning on KCFM 104.1.